what we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, big question. Where do you get your news? The answer better be KPCC, but I'm sure you have a variety of sources. It could be your local paper, Twitter, podcast, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. I mean, the list can go on and on. With an abundance of information, the lines between fact and fiction can sometimes be a little blurred, and that is where media literacy comes in. For more on that, we bring you some news you can use when it comes to consuming all that information that's available to us. And joining us is Allison Trope. She's a clinical professor at the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism and founder of the Critical Media Project. Allison, in recent months, we've seen the spread of conspiracy theories such as QAnon, as well as mis and disinformation around the coronavirus and the election. So how does media literacy play a role in this?
Media literacy really starts with a basic premise. We're living in, as you said, this media-saturated world, and we need to find ways to understand it. So media literacy builds on traditional literacy skills and offers us really new forms of reading and writing and thinking about how do we discern and decode all of the media and news around us. And as you said, one of the problems is there's increasingly blurred lines. So media literacy just helps us in coming up with tools that we can use in our daily life to kind of understand this world.
And before we get to the tools that you're going to describe for us, Allison, a lot of people would be surprised about how so many people either don't want to have these tools to be armed with media literacy, have never been told about it, or don't care anymore because news and emotion get mixed together.
There's a lot of labor involved in media literacy. It's not easy. And it's not always successful. So there's a new kind of onus put on us as individuals in this kind of media literacy landscape. And I think one of the other things we need to think about is how we can have partners with the government and with some of the platforms out there in terms of creating regulations and different kinds of standards and conventions that can help us as individual citizens make sense of this world. So it shouldn't be something that's only on us. At the same time, you know, I want to also point out that the U.S. is really behind. There are many countries throughout the world that have media literacy starting in kindergarten. And there has been a greater push for this in the last 4 years, partly because of the Trump administration and because of all of these, the ways in which fake news has been called out on so many levels. And so we see now a greater push at the federal and state level, but these efforts have been going on for several decades, and it's only now that we're really paying attention to them.
All right, now with all that in mind, what questions should media consumers be asking themselves as information is taken in, and what are some essential skills for practicing media literacy?
There are 5 typical words that we use to describe the kind of grounding of media literacy. And there are 2 parts. One is the decoding and one is the encoding. So the decoding is tied to how do we access the information? Where are we getting it? What's the platform and how do we think about that? Then how do we analyze what we're seeing? How do we think critically about it? How do we evaluate it? That's the 3rd piece. And then on the encoding piece, we also have to think about how we are all media producers these days, whether we are liking something or retweeting something or posting something, we have to think about what we are encoding in the content that we're producing. So how are we creating and how are we acting? And some of the questions that we ask are really the kind of basic questions you may have done back in school when you did current events. Mm-hmm. It's basically who made this? You know, you want to think about who made this, what are the economic implications of that potentially? What is the message telling us? What are some of the ideologies and values being conveyed in this message? What might be missing from the message? Who might benefit from this message? So again, thinking about economics or bias. Why was it made? Is there a particular agenda behind it? How might different people interpret the message? And then who might be harmed by the message? So really taking also an ethical stance and thinking of these messages not in a vacuum, but as part of a greater society.
We're talking about media literacy with Allison Trope, clinical professor at the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. Allison, let's talk about how we can help people around us be more cognizant of the information that they consume. And I'm thinking about young people, kids and grandkids, who may be getting a lot of their information and thinking that it's news through sites like, say, TikTok. So how do we talk to them about this?
Well, first of all, one thing I recommend for my students is to keep a media consumption log. So I have them record throughout a single 24-hour period what they're looking at, what it means to them, how they feel when they're looking at it, and get them to try to decode some of the messages that they're seeing. I think, you know, the dinner table or the breakfast table are also times to really talk through what you're seeing. You know, we used to recommend sitting down with your kids while watching a movie, you know, and now they're often in their rooms on their own devices. But I think bringing those devices into a central area or providing space for conversations to talk about what did you see on TikTok? Can I watch it with you? Let's walk through it. And really getting them to unpack, you know, what is being represented in the media. And I think it's so crucial for young people, especially, to think about representation, to think about who am I seeing in the media? Am I seeing myself and am I seeing others and how do they look? How is that impacting the way I see myself and the way I understand other people?
A funny thing, Allison, you know, I brought up, you know, kids, because I have two granddaughters, and I'm always wondering and worrying about what they're consuming. But I'm just as worried about them as I am for my 70-year-old uncle. I call him every single day, and we talk about the news, and I always got to ask him, where are you hearing what you're hearing?
There have been studies that have been done by Pew and other outlets that suggest that older people actually have a harder time with media literacy than younger people. And it's perhaps because they are not trained at all in media literacy, whereas I think younger kids have some training and perhaps are just in this kind of environment where they're used to the media saturation.
Allison, what about those who may have different political views? Because I think we all would love to overcome the divisiveness that's been like a blanket over this country the last few years. So how do we approach this with our own families when it comes to media literacy?
So I think that's one of the key values of media literacy for me. And it's why I started the Critical Media Project, is to really use media as a tool to understand across difference and to really understand not only different political views, but really use the lens of social identity, thinking about race and ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, class, religion, age, disability, all of these identity factors, and really trying to use those and look at media representations of those different identities so that we can not only understand how we are represented in the media, but how others are represented and how we understand others because of those media representations. So using media as a tool then to really see not only what mainstream media is putting out there for us, but how can we use media ourselves to tell different stories and to engage with different people. So I think media literacy can be a really powerful tool to combat silos, to combat a lot of the hate and extremism we see in today's society.
That's Allison Trope, clinical professor at the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism and the founder of the web-based media literacy resource called Critical Media Project. Allison, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.